Welcome to Voices of Change. I'm Katie Kapp, co-founder and executive director of the Get the Medications Right Institute, the sponsor for this podcast. On this episode, we'll be speaking with Dr. Ursula Knowlton, co-founder, president, and chief marketing and new business development officer of Tabula Rasa Healthcare, an executive member of the Get the Medications Right Institute. Dr. Knowlton and the Tabula Rasa Healthcare team work with close to 25% of the nation's PACE program participants. For this population, Tabula Rasa Healthcare provides interventions for high-risk members and Medicare Part D plans, representing approximately 15% of the total number of Medicare lives. Prior to co-founding Tabula Rasa, Dr. Knowlton was a key member of the startup management team at ExcelRx, a hospice medication management and pharmacy distribution company. She's also been involved in numerous publications focused on medication safety and personalized medication management, and she's co-authored the first published consensus guidelines on the standards for anticoagulation management centers, as well as authoring and co-authoring book chapters and articles focused on marketing pharmaceutical care and medication therapy management services. Dr. Knowlton received her Bachelor's of Science in Pharmacy and Doctorate in Pharmacy from the University of the Sciences College of Pharmacy, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. She is a graduate of Temple University's Fox School of Business Executive MBA program in Philadelphia. She also has received many awards for her professional and personal accomplishments, including Women of Distinction from the Philadelphia Business Journal, New Jersey's Best 50 Women in Business in 2008 from NJBiz, Exceptional Entrepreneurs Award from SNJ Business People, and Citizen of the Year from the Garden State Council chapter of the Boy Scouts of America. Ursula, I want to welcome you to our show today.
Thanks, Katie. It's a delight to be on the show. Thank you.
So let's get started with you telling me and our listeners a little bit about your background.
Sure, Katie. I'd be happy to. So my background is that first-generation Greek-American, and as a result, if you think about the movie My Big Fat Greek Wedding, that was very much my life growing up. Our parents had a restaurant with their families and was around many adults and cousins. My grandmother lived with us. And actually, that is where my interest in pharmacy started, as she lived with us until she passed at 94 years old. So she was on many, many chronic medications. My mother, as the caregiver, was often frustrated, not really understanding how to administer medications to her. She fell a lot and had been to the hospital multiple times over the course of her living with us. And I loved having her with us. The caregiver model is certainly one I'm familiar with. And that's why I decided to seek a career in pharmacy, was for that reason. So I went to U Sciences, as you'd mentioned in my background, did a community pharmacy residency where we did really innovative stuff that people are doing today. This was back 20 years ago, anticoagulation management, diabetes education, and hospice. In fact, I know we're now considering how pharmacists could be administering not just vaccines, but also lab testing. And our pharmacy was CLIA certified in 1993, where we did PT and INR testing. I was the lab medical director as a pharmacist at the time. And I think the family business really brought a sense of entrepreneurism to me. And while I was at Amherst Pharmacy, Hospice Pharmacia started out of Amherst Pharmacy, and I took on the role of marketing and business development with a focus on quality and compliance at the time, ended up also identifying the need for a master's in business. And really, because it wasn't that I didn't feel comfortable in the business world, it was just a way to to acknowledge that I had a business background, and as a woman leader, I could be at a business table, not just at a pharmacy or at a clinical table. And we ran Hospice Pharmacia for about 10 years. ExcelRx was the company name we used, with the goal of doing an IPO. And we ended up not doing an IPO. We merged with another company, a Fortune 500 company at the time. So between that time, which was about 2007 when we left the Hospice Pharmacia company, we started CareKinesis, which was focused on medication safety and technology, with a couple turns in between that time with some companies that didn't work out, and some pivots with Care Kinesis into Tabula Rasa Healthcare is how we got to where we are today. But really the focus on medication safety started then. And even more so, my husband and I started Tabula Rasa Healthcare, Dr. Calvin Knowlton. You know, his father also was on multiple chronic medications. And as pharmacists, you'd think, well, we've got this, we can handle it. But it was a real challenge. We ended up getting a pharmacogenomics test for him, which at the time cost hundreds of dollars. I think it was $900 for a single gene. And that really helped us gain insight into his medication regimen and to what we needed to do. In this case, it was that he was a partial metabolizer of CYP2D6, so we needed to adjust down his metoprolol. And anytime he went back in the hospital, they'd adjust it right back up to sort of the standard of care. And so from that, it really made us think, we really have to do something about this. There's the old systems that we've had in technology for medication safety just aren't working. And that's how we really focused on what we're doing today.
Well, you certainly have been a trailblazer, and not only do you talk the talk, but you walk the walk as a clinical pharmacist. We're delighted that Tabula Rasa Healthcare is an executive member of the Get the Medications Right Institute. And I know that you recognize that we believe that a personalized and patient-centered approach to medication use will vastly improve outcomes and reduce overall healthcare costs. And I think that's what you are mentioning to some degree when you discuss your father-in-law. But what do you think are the top three things that we can do as an industry today that will impact achievement of this goal?
That's a great question, Katie. I think that the number one challenge that I've had and that we have as an organization and as a profession is that there's a lack of awareness of the problem. And I've spent my career focused on marketing and business development around medication safety. And generally, people don't believe that there's a problem with how medications are prescribed today. They don't realize that medications are the third leading cause of death in the United States. And if you think about all the big challenging times we've had, HIV, opioid crisis, even deaths from different wars, there's nothing like 200,000 deaths a year. That 200,000 deaths are predicted in 2021 compared to that. So the biggest challenge, I think, is really creating awareness that medications are great when they're used appropriately and when they're administered at the right portion and the right time of day so that they don't cause medication-related problems or adverse drug events. I think that plus making pharmacogenomics something that a pharmacist owns so that a pharmacist, when deemed appropriate, can order, facilitate the ordering, and actually administer a pharmacogenomics test to keep that data in their technology so that they can always use this one-time test that will reveal whether patients can take the medications they're on because they can metabolize them effectively and understand whether there are certain medications that could be inhibiting one another because they go through those same pathway. I think these are important considerations. And then lastly, I think promoting the use of innovative medication decision support tools that can help pharmacists do this process quicker and more effectively, and then being able to engage patients in that whole continuum of medication safety is extremely important.
So you know at the Institute that we believe the clinical pharmacist to be the medication expert in a team-based care environment. That essentially is that medication expert working in collaborative practice with a physician. There was a recent article in the Wall Street Journal, has personalized medicine been a wrong turn? And you bring up, you know, in your last comment, the importance of not only personalized medicine, but pharmacogenomics testing and the opportunities around that. One of the comments as a result of that Wall Street Journal article, an op-ed piece by Dr. Paul Muto, basically indicated that a physician doesn't choose a treatment because it's best for the population. And I quote him, this is his response. I found this kind of interesting. It certainly ties into what you're talking about. Instead, the physician's responsibility is to take all of the data available and apply it to the individual patient. It's a mistake to assume every patient will have the same outcome with the same therapy, just as it's a mistake to assume all diseases should be preventable. Luckily, with technology like genomics and artificial intelligence, we have more tools than ever before to ensure we make the best choices for all patients. I found that an interesting point that's certainly supported by what you just mentioned, Ursula, and I know that your organization offers a solution to ensure medication safety and personalized medication regimes. What I'd like to hear, and I know our listeners would be interested in learning more about, is why that's important and how does that work tie to our work at the Get the Medications Right Institute?
So, Katie, I think what you just said was extremely important, the notion of personalizing medication regimens. You know, where we work in the Program for All-Inclusive Care for the Elderly, and there are no formularies in PACE, and that's because the PACE program is relatively small as a health plan, and CMS would like to see that every person is getting personalized care and not just a formulary-based approach. So I think that is the direction that we need to go as a healthcare system, is really in personalizing the approach and not doing a pharmacogenomic test. I think they're not being done as much as they could be. Cost could be a factor, although it is a one-time test, and compared to the cost of other tests, $300 is, you know, a throwaway. And it's, you know, information you use ongoingly. I really think that not having a pharmacogenomics test when you could have one is almost irresponsible. I mean, you're taking care of people who are 4 to 5 years at the end of life, is how we see the PACE population. They're on multiple medications. They have multiple chronic conditions. It would be really hard to not personalize their medication regimen and see a great outcome. And that's why we take such focus on the medication safety aspect of what we do. And, you know, if you look at what's being done right now with COVID-19 and the controversy about the use of hydroxychloroquine and azithromycin, well, we know that those two drugs can together cause, especially in women, prolonged QT or QT prolongation, putting people at risk of sudden death. And certainly a lot of people died. So it's hard to understand, are people dying because of COVID or they're dying because of medication regimens? But then you think about all the other medications they're taking. I mean, people could be on 5 to 10, you know, average number of medications for someone who's 55 and older is 5 medications, you know, at least 10 to 12 when they're over 65 in a chronically ill population, who are the people who are really seriously ill with COVID. And you have to think that, you know, isn't there a way to really look at that medication regimen differently? How can we understand the full risk of that regimen when it comes to QT prolongation? Are there other medications that the person is taking that can cause that, which increases their risk even more, making it a medication selection that shouldn't occur? So I definitely think that the personalization is important and providing that information at the point of care is important, and that's what our technology really does. So in support of Get the Medications Right, our goal is to provide the tools to help get the medications right. We provide visualization tools for the pharmacist, a bullseye, which identifies out of what components that the person could be at risk for. For instance, QT prolongation is one of them. We're using a validated tool that was developed by our Science Precision Pharmacotherapy Research and Development Institute. And those tools are so helpful. They indicate exactly where the risk lies in the medication regimen. And we took all these components, there are 5, and we rolled them up into a medication risk score. We call it the MedWise risk score. And that really is an indicator of how much at risk the person is for an adverse drug event, in particular the economic aspect of it. And we know that somebody, and we just published an article on Friday, came out in the American Pharmacists Association Journal online, that for every unit of change in medication risk score, there's a $1,000 difference in medical costs. We know that people who have a risk score of 20 or higher have even 15 or higher on a scale of 0 to 50. 15 or higher, people experience twice the medical cost of people with an average risk score lower than that. So it provides a lot of insight and is actually predictive for people to understand, is this person at risk? What are they at risk for? What are the medications putting them at risk for these things? And helping the pharmacist then guide the prescribing at that point.
Well, and for those of our listeners that aren't familiar with the PACE program, I mentioned earlier that Tabula Rasa, the Tabula Rasa healthcare team works with close to 25% of the nation's PACE program participants, and that stands for, that's the program for all-inclusive care of the elderly. So they would certainly be a vulnerable population, not just in this era of the COVID-19 pandemic, but just in general due to the number of medications that they are on. So, Ursula, what are the top three things that we should do today to overcome barriers to safe, effective use of medications and gene therapies? Because many of us have parents, like you've described earlier, that are on multiple medications. Some of our listeners may be on multiple medications, or loved ones that really are simply trying to determine whether this is the right medication or combinations of medication for this individual or for themselves. So what are the top three things we should do today to overcome those barriers to safe and effective use?
It's a really good question, and it's a bit of a challenge. I think the most important thing is to provide an accurate list of all the things you're ingesting for your wellness and medication therapy treatment. Everything is important. Herbals, over-the-counter medications are extremely important to understand what a person's taking, and then making sure that you're taking them at the right time. There are medications that, when taken in combination, can inhibit each other. A very common example or scenario could be someone who's on opioid that is a prodrug, like oxycodone, taking it with Benadryl at night or diphenhydramine in the evening, taking them together. Well, diphenhydramine has a higher affinity for the metabolizing enzyme of those two drugs and will be metabolized while the oxycodone is not metabolized from its prodrug state to its active drug state. And that's a real challenge because someone might decide I'll take more hydroxycodone because it's not working as much at night. My pain must be worse at night. And then if they miss a dose of the Benadryl, then they have perhaps even 2 to 3 times the dose they originally been prescribed that they will now start to metabolize into the active form. So I think really understanding the appropriate time when medications need to be taken in relationship to each other is important. And then also to make sure that you're not continuing on medications that are really only for short-term treatment. And we have so many participants and patients who end up on medications they were taking in the hospital for hospital prevention of various potential problems they could have that continue on them. You know, proton pump inhibitors are a great example of something that people are on for years, and just trying to reduce the number of medications people take just by stepping down, things like that, is really an effective way to stay on the right course of medication safety.
Well, we certainly are concerned about medications that make you sicker, medications that aren't taken as indicated, and medication that's not appropriate medication for that individual. And we thank you, Dr. Nelson, for your insight and time today. And we also want to thank you for supporting the important work of the Get the Medications Right Institute. If you have a final comment, I'd love to hear that from you now.
Well, Katie, I think the Institute's doing a really great job. I think the more we can get tools into the hands of pharmacists and support pharmacists to do the things that they've been trained to do, but often don't have the opportunity to do them. You know, our Enhanced Medication Therapy Management Initiative, we've achieved the 2% saving 2 years in a row. We're going to be looking at year 3, hopefully by August. So the more we can facilitate processes for pharmacists and technologies to put in the hands of pharmacists to support their patients and to reduce that average drug event rate for our population of being the third leading cause of death, you know, if it could get down into the 10th leading cause of death, I mean, it would be a wonderful thing for us to try to move the needle on that.
Absolutely. And your organization is certainly working at the intersection of use of health information technology and the pharmaceutical care model. And I think you're doing some really interesting things. We'll make sure that our listeners have access to the newly published article that you mentioned. We will have that. We will make sure that that is available to them. That marks the end of this episode of Voices of Change. Thank you again, Ursula, for taking the time to chat with me today and for offering your perspective on these issues. I'd also like to thank our listeners for tuning in. To learn more about what you can do to help get the medications right, please visit us at www.gtmr.org. Until next time, be well.